Welcome to the O Woman Podcast, where we discuss, so many things related to women's sexuality, bodies, thoughts, and lives. We'll talk about everything from our relationships, to our orgasms, to our children, and our ovaries. And we'll share outstanding experiences and ordinary ones. I'm Emma, and a big, open welcome to you. Thanks for joining me for the show today. This is episode 98 of the O Woman Podcast. We're fast approaching episode 100, the centennial celebration of the podcast. And today I wanted to talk about something that sounds like it might be a little bit frou-frou, like it might not actually apply to us, but in fact it does. So oftentimes you'll read articles or you'll hear different things or you'll see something in Cosmopolitan magazine, for example, or something like that, that says tips that the sexperts use or tips that the sexperts say work the best and here's why you should try this and that. But I'm not sure if these are really written by sex experts. They're perhaps just made up by the authors, you know, writers for the magazine, editors for the magazine, you know. But also, do these tips actually work in real life? Do they actually work for the people who are recommending them? Because one of the biggest things with sex, and then also just in life, is are you practicing what you preach? Are you actually really doing what you say? Or are you following your own advice? And sometimes people have issues doing that. I know that there's certain aspects of my life where I can preach about something all day long, but I don't do it. And I think everybody's like that a little bit. But one place that you can't really afford to be like that is about your sex life. Because you really need to be able to give true, real advice based on your own experiences. And that's kind of what I've been doing on the show, based on my own experiences and my own understanding of things. But I also wanted to look outside of my own understanding and see what we could glean from other people, specifically sex experts, if that really is a thing, sexperts. So I just wanted to add that to the conversation. And so I found an article that is written by Kenny Fapong, and it's really nice because it's really brief and it highlights five different tips that sexperts actually use. Like, these are sex experts, but they actually use them in their real life, and they write the name of the person who's recommending it. The first tip that one sexologist swears by, this is a sexologist, Yvonne Fulbright, PhD, is puckering up, is kissing your partner. And she talks about how it's a really simple thing. You don't even really think about it, but it's really important. It's really necessary because it's important to maintain that habit of kissing your partner before you leave the house every morning or before you go to bed at night or when you say goodbye. It doesn't have to be a sensual kiss. It just needs to be a kiss. And the reason that this sexologist says this is so important is that research has shown that kissing before you leave the house or before bed, for example, is a really good way to stay affectionate and connected with your partner, even though time might not allow other stuff. So, for example, you know, you wish you had 3 hours to nap and have sex. Unlikely that you do. So you can at least kind of remind each other by engaging in just a kiss, that you're still into each other, you're still there for each other, you're still connected. Because it sounds like such a small thing, but I can vouch for this in my own life, so this is something that I'm actually excited to agree with, is that sometimes you forget how much the little things really count and how much they mean. And they add up over time. So if you do this every day for a week, chances are you're going to feel so much more connected to your partner at the end of the week than if you don't do it every day for a week. That's, you know, 50 kisses gone by the wayside if you're not doing it. That's 50 chances to interact and get close with the person that you love, that you care about, that you're spending your time with. And remind yourself of the way they are, their lips, the way they smell, their closeness, how much they mean to you. Because as we know, all these things are connected. So on a sexual level, too, it also allows you to stay more connected, too, because it keeps intimacy kind of in your radar. And that's what she says about her and her husband, the sexologist says, that it helps keep intimacy in their radar. And it means they're going to be more responsive in general when they're in bed with each other. They're going to be more aware. They're going to be paying better attention because they've been more aware of each other's sexuality, sensuality, and intimacy before that. The second tip is provided by sexologist Emily Morse, she's the host of Sex with Emily. And hers is about going to buy sex toys. And she says that one of the best ways to enhance her sex life, she's noticed, is to introduce new products. And it doesn't have to be, you know, anything fancy. And it doesn't have to be anything you need. Of course, you'd rather it be something that you like. So it could be a new lubricant, you know, just whatever, just for fun, just to make it fun. And, you know, you might even hate the thing. As long as you didn't spend $50 on it, what's the risk? You know, what's the problem? You can have a good time. It spices things up. It makes things more exciting. And it kind of expands your sex life and makes it a little bit more fulfilling. And that's one of the things that Emily says, is that by mixing things up, that's really one of the keys for having a more fulfilling sex life, is getting excited to try something new. They're trying something new with the same person, of course, you're with your same partner, but it's something new on your idea of what your sexuality is, or just something fresh. I mean, everybody loves something fresh. Everybody loves something fresh for dinner. Everybody loves something fresh, you know, like music. You don't want to listen to the same song over and over again. You know, it makes sense. The third tip is brought to us by an author named Joan Price. She wrote the book, The Ultimate Guide to Sex After 50, How to Maintain or Regain a Spicy, Satisfying Sex Life. And this is a really great one, because I think sometimes we overlook sex with ourselves when we think about sex. And one of the things that Joan says is that this is an important thing to think about. You can't just forget about it. And this has nothing to do with if you're in a relationship or not. It actually is going to help if you are in a relationship just as much as if you're single. So masturbating is important, she says, because it's important for your health, first of all. I did an entire episode on health and sex and how it makes you feel healthier. It's important for your overall health, just your body. It's important for your mood. Of course, it's going to elevate your mood. It's going to also relax you. It's going to make you feel better. You're going to have all those good hormones, feel-good hormones flowing through your body. And you're going to feel better, better about yourself, better about tomorrow, better about what's next. And it just feels good, of course, like beyond the obvious. And it's not hurting anybody, of course. It's the opposite of hurting anybody. It's benefiting you. So whether or not your partner's involved, you can still enjoy this. And it's nice because it gives you a chance, in my opinion, to reconnect with your body in a way that you can't do with someone else. Just like spending time alone allows you to reconnect with your personality, and you can't do that when someone else is around. It's just true. The fourth tip is brought to us by Ava Cadell, PhD, and she's the author of Neurolovology, The Power to Mindful Love and Sex. And I really, really, really like this one. I did an episode about dealing with distractions during sex and things like that. This one, this tip is great about trying to limit the distractions. So she says you should create an environment that's stress-free. And of course, that's impossible. Utterly. You know, it's impossible to utterly have an environment that's stress-free. But she wants you to reduce the external distractions as much as you possibly can. So maybe clean up your space where you might be having sex so that you're not thinking, oh man, I wish I'd done the laundry. Annoying. You know, cut off the TV. Cut off your phone. Like, close the computer. Get the lights out of your eyes. Dim the lights. Turn the clock away, too, if you're concerned about time, or if you're just kind of a nervous, aware person, it'd be a really great time for you to turn those things away so that you're going to relax a little bit more. It lets you forget sense of time, because let's face it, when you're thinking about time and you're focusing on those external distractions when you're trying to have sex, it is not going to be fun or fulfilling. You need to be in the moment. You can't be in the moment when you're thinking about the laundry or the clock or your phone going off or if the phone rings. Doing this also, she says, helps release some of those feel-good endorphins like dopamine, and that's going to motivate our pleasure and reward center in our brain, which is going to make sex even better, whether it's sex with yourself or sex with a partner. And the fifth tip, another one that I think is really, really important, and I did a podcast episode about this too, about, you know, pushing sometimes too hard for an orgasm when it's not the right time. It might not be. I think it was called When the Quest for an Orgasm Goes Too Far. So this one is, don't focus on your orgasm. And this is brought to us by Megan Stubbs, a sexologist and relationship expert. Because it isn't, honestly, we know this, it isn't all about the orgasm. And of course, it's going to be way more about the orgasm if you're still in the phase of a relationship when you're still learning to have one together. And that's important. But I'm thinking more along the scale of later on, you've gotten a little bit better at having them. You can take them for granted a little bit more, even though you never really should. And so it's not always a battle to have one. You're better at having them. You're better at focusing on and making it happen. So sometimes you're not always focused on sexy, sexy, hot, hot orgasm time. You might want to focus on, you know, making out or cuddling or giving each other massages, which might not lead to orgasm or might not even end in sex necessarily. But there's something intimate, she says, which is true about being touched by your partner in different ways that isn't just highly sexual for the purpose of orgasm, someone's orgasm, or being more turned on. It's going to help you explore your body, and it's going to help you explore their body. And of course, sex, you know, makes you explore their body and makes you feel exciting, but it's a different kind of feeling to do the snuggling and to focus more on the intimacy and not so much on just the orgasm. And one of the good things about doing this, slowing down and focusing on that, is it's really going to relax you and make you feel more ready for this next step. If you're deciding you want to do the I want to focus on my orgasm sex right after, it's going to really leave you more satisfied and allow you to be more open to achieving what you want. So I really thought that this article that focused on these five sex tips that sexperts actually use, I thought it was great because it is stuff that is real. It's not some of the silly bits of advice that you get from other places and you're thinking, oh, that's so romantic and interesting, but shit, am I ever going to be able to do that? Is that something that fits in my life? It seems ridiculous. These things are super easy. They're super simple to think about. They happen sometimes whether you like it or not, and it just works out. So it's nice to focus on them and realize, hey, this is going to benefit me. This is going to be great. This is something I can focus on and use, and it's just going to help out. So as always, I want to thank you so much for listening to the A Woman Podcast. Check out Facebook, A Woman Podcast. Check us out on iTunes. Subscribe, A Woman Podcast on iTunes, obviously too. Please rate the episodes. That would be really helpful and really great in letting me know feedback, information, things like that. And if you go to the website, awomanpodcast.com, you can check out all the past episodes in the episode archives tab. Catch up on things that you missed, like the episodes that I mentioned today. So do that. Check that out. Leave comments. Leave questions. You can also email me, emma@awomanpodcast.com, because I would love to hear any and everything you have to say. And thanks again. I'll talk to you next time. Bye.